Now, the rest of the story. When Bill was 7 weeks old, his mother wrote that he was very large for his age and grows fatter every day. And that was to be true for the most of the rest of his life. Bill's obesity may have begun with some glandular condition or genetic predisposition, yet through his childhood, matters were made worse by feelings of inadequacy and the influence of ambitious, demanding parents. In adolescence, Bill's weight increased proportionately to his anxieties. By 20, he weighed 220 and was fast on his way to a ponderous 350-plus pounds. Somebody once described him as molded between 2 6-foot parentheses. That was one of the kinder things that people said about his weight. Bathing indoors became virtually impossible, so after several times getting stuck in the bathtub, having to be extricated by 2 grown men, Bill finally got a bigger tub, a small swimming pool, somebody called it. For transportation, Bill had to drive a specially built car, one with extra wide doors. Barber chairs and dentist's chairs were dangerous for him because even if he managed to fit into one, there was no guarantee he could get out. In fact, Bill went to the theater with his brother one night, sat down in the theater seat, turned to his brother and said, "If this theater burns, it's got to burn around me." What did Bill eat to keep in this misshape? Well, breakfast was ordinarily a 12-ounce steak with 2 oranges and several pieces of liberally buttered toast and a pot of coffee with much cream and more sugar. A light midday meal might include lobster stew and salmon cutlets with peas, roast tenderloin with vegetable salad, roast turkey with potato salad, cold tongue and ham, frozen pudding, cake, fruit, and another pot of coffee. Dinner? I don't think you want to hear. One of the main problems created by Bill's extreme overweight along with his grocery bill was that he was always falling asleep. He'd sit there talking to somebody after a meal. Suddenly his head would fall forward and he'd start snoring. Pickwickian syndrome, it is called, a tendency to drowsiness due to the shallow respiration of one so amply endowed. Bill would say, "It's just my way." His attitudes toward his corpulence were what a psychologist might expect. On one hand, Bill viewed it as a means of self-assertion, tending to equate it with strength and masculinity. On the other hand, his heft was a constant source of embarrassment, even to the point that he imagined people laughing at him when they were not. In either case, Bill imagined that he could control his weight through exercise, and he did exercise quite a bit, but it never peeled a pound from his enormity. Mainly, food was comfort for Bill, and he needed all the comfort he could get, particularly considering the stresses of his job, because it was a job he never really liked. And when he retired from it, he did begin losing weight, eventually trimmed down to a svelte 250 pounds. But the job that kept him so anxious was the presidency of the United States. History remembers Bill, William Howard Taft, as the heaviest president we have ever had. And yet accompanying that sterile statistic is a stunning observation. Americans desire in their leaders the ultimate incompetence. And yet for 4 long years, at the helm of the United States ship of state, for 4 long years was a man incapable of dressing himself. A man utterly unable even to tie his own shoes. And now you know the rest of the story.